Well, God bless you. It's great to be with you today. And I hope you'll stay connected with us during the week through our daily podcast, our YouTube channel, social media, and you can come visit us in person. We'd love to have you be a part of one of our services. And I'd like to start with something funny. And I heard about this man that was out walking on the beach, and God said, "Son, you've been so faithful. I'm going to grant you one special wish." He was so excited. He said, "God, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid to fly. So my wish is that you'd build me a bridge across the ocean." God said, "Son, that's impossible. Think of the logistics of that. Now take a moment and wish again." Man thought about it and said, "Okay, God, I've been married 4 times. All my ex-wives say I am so insensitive. So my wish is that I would be able to understand a woman. I want to know why they think like they think, why they feel like they feel." There was a long pause. God said, "Do you want 2 lanes or 4 lanes on that bridge?" And all the men said, "Amen." Here we go, guys. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless you. I want to talk to you today about time to try again. We've all had things that we wanted to see happen, but they didn't work out. We tried to start a business, or tried to lose the weight, tried to have a baby, tried to forgive. We did our best, but we weren't able to do it. When we face these setbacks, it's easy to settle there and think, "I don't want to be disappointed again. The relationship didn't work out. I don't want to get hurt again. My boss said I wasn't qualified for the position. I don't want to get rejected again. I tried to make peace with my loved one. I only made it worse. I don't want to rock the boat again." But just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. The people that reach their destiny are the people that try again. The enemy would love for you to live disappointed, dwelling on what wasn't fair, who hurt you, how you did your best, but the door closed. The promotion you deserved went to your coworker. You wanted to get your degree, but you weren't that disciplined. You didn't study, you partied. Now it seems like it's too late. But God knew every mistake you would make. He knew every setback, every person that would do you wrong. He's already taken that into account. For every setback, He's already planned a comeback. For every loss, a new beginning. For every closed door, an open door. And failure is not final unless you quit trying. The scripture says, a good man falls 7 times, but he gets back up again. We're all going to fall. The question is, are you going to get back up? Are you going to believe that God's still ordering your steps? That what He started, He will finish? There has to be a fire on the inside, a holy determination that you're going to become all God's created you to be. But y'all, I tried to get back in shape. I couldn't do it. God is saying, try again. Well, I tried to break the addiction. I've been to a rehab a few times. Try again. Tried to make my marriage work. We're too combative. I tried to start my company. I couldn't get the funding. Try again. Sometimes it wasn't the right time. Well, God was working in you, getting everything arranged. But you will come into what the scripture calls a window of grace, where God empowers you to do what you couldn't do before, where there's a favor that causes doors to open, the right people to show up, an anointing of ease, where what used to be a struggle is not a struggle anymore. You have the grace to forgive and the grace to get healthy, the grace to take new ground. But this power is only activated if you try again. 1 Chronicles 13, the Israelites had what they called the Ark of the Covenant. It's a rectangular box that represented the presence of God. It had the Ten Commandments in it. It was very sacred, very holy. It had to be treated with the utmost respect. Now, at one point, the Philistines captured the ark, took it from God's people. They paraded it around like a big trophy. Look what we've done. The problem was their people started getting sick and having these boils, and they knew it was because they had this ark, the God of Israel. They had to get rid of it. So they put it on a cart, hooked it up to two oxen, and let them wander wherever they wanted. Well, the oxen came into Israel. God ordered their steps. The ark came back home. It was taken to a house up on a hill where they stood guard night and day. It was there for 20 years. When David became king, he wanted to bring the ark to Jerusalem, the capital city. The ark represented Jehovah. He wanted everyone united in worship to this one God, and he didn't like the fact the ark had been neglected, stored in a house, not getting the reverence and honor it deserved. So he called all the leaders of Israel together, his military advisors, top officials. He knew he had to get them on board. He said in verse 2, "If it seems good to you, and if it's the will of the Lord, let us bring back the ark of our God, for we neglected it during the reign of Saul." They all agreed. They knew it was the right thing. So David organized 30,000 men from all the different provinces to come with him to bring it home. It was a historical moment. They put the ark on a cart and began to lead the oxen down the hill. It was this huge celebration. All this singing, dancing, music playing, everyone excited. But as the oxen got to the bottom of the hill, they stumbled and the ark started to fall. One of the workers reached out to steady the ark and instantly he was killed. You couldn't touch the ark. It was the presence of God. All of a sudden, the music stopped. The band quit playing. Dancers put down their tambourines. This joyful celebration completely turned. Now they were standing there stunned, in disbelief. I can see David put his head down, tell the people to go back home. It's not going to happen. We can't move this safely. They sent it to a house close by. David was not only disappointed, he was angry. He was mad at God. He said in verse 12, "God, how do you expect me to bring this ark home?" David had good intentions. He was trying to do the right thing. The ark belonged with them, but he went about it the wrong way. He copied what the Philistines had done, put the ark on a cart and had oxen to carry it. But there was a specific protocol for transporting the ark. There was a right way to do it. David was passionate. He was zealous. "I'm going to bring this home. I'm going to honor Jehovah." But Paul said in Romans, "Zeal without knowledge is not good." If David would have looked back at the Torah, he would have seen the ark can't be carried by animals. The priests have to carry it, not on a cart, but on poles. If he would have researched it, he would have seen hundreds of years earlier, Joshua had the priest carry the ark as they crossed the Jordan River. You can do the right thing the wrong way and not have success. You can have good intentions. You tried your best. Like David, you gave it your all, but it didn't work out. You're disappointed. "God, this isn't fair." Here's the good news. That disappointment is not where your story ends. God doesn't hold our failures against us. The key is learn from your mistakes. Most of the time, there's a lesson. There's something we could do differently. We got in a hurry. We didn't take time to study. We're doing a good thing. We know God put it in our heart, but we went about it the wrong way. This was embarrassing for David. He was humiliated. This national event, all of his leaders, the whole country watching, and it turns into a big tragedy. David went back home so disappointed. He could have said, "Forget about that ark. I'm never touching that thing again. God, you better find someone else." One thing that made David a champion is he was willing to try again. He didn't stay disappointed. Instead of sitting around in self-pity, he began to study how you move the ark. "God, what did I do wrong? Is there something I need to change?" When we're disappointed and things haven't worked out, it's very powerful to look inside and say, "God, show me where I missed it. What could I do better next time? Could I prepare more? Could I watch my words in this relationship, not be critical and harsh? Could I choose better people to be in business with? Could I be more sensitive to what I'm feeling down in here, not go against that unrest? Could I get more knowledge to match this zeal? Study, make sure the timing? Nothing is ever wasted if you learn from the experience. There's a lesson. If you're open, God will show you so you don't keep repeating the same mistakes. And for 3 months, the ark was stored in a house of the man named Obed. You would think that David would be done thinking about that after he was so disappointed, so embarrassed. But during those 3 months, David figured out what he did wrong. It says in verse 13, it was because the Levites, the priests, didn't carry the ark that the anger of the Lord broke out. We did not inquire of him how to do it the prescribed way. David is saying something powerful. I had all this passion, all this zeal, but I should have asked God how to do it the right way. There was a prescribed way. How many disappointments can that keep us from if we'll ask God ahead of time? God, show me how to do this. God, give me wisdom. Show me the best way. David made a mistake, learned the lesson. That could have been the end. He didn't bring the ark back. It stayed with Obed. No, David had this boldness to try again. His attitude was, when I fall, I shall arise. Verse 28 says, David went down to Obed's house and brought the ark to Jerusalem with great singing and dancing. 3 months earlier, he was down on himself, thinking he blew it. Now he's got the ark, dancing, celebrating, thanking God for the victory. Like David, we're all going to go through disappointments. Times we did our best. We had good intentions. Didn't work out. Doesn't seem fair. That's not the end of the story. Thoughts will tell you, you'll never bring the ark home. Never start your business. The last one didn't make it. Never have a healthy relationship. You put your heart and soul into the last one. It didn't last. No, learn the lesson and dare to try again. God will always give you another chance. Now, what will keep you stuck is if you don't try. Joel, I've been too hurt, too embarrassed, through too much. You're right where David was. He could have settled there in disappointment, missed his destiny. You have to get your fire back. You are coming into a window of grace to do what you couldn't do before. God is breathing new life into your spirit, new strength into your body, new passion into your heart. That setback didn't stop what he had planned. There may have been a delay, but it didn't cancel your purpose. Your ark is still coming home. That dream is still going to come to pass. Your child will still get back on course. Your marriage is still going to flourish. Your business is still going to take off. Now you have to do your part and try again. Go back to Obed's house and get what belongs to you. Yes, the disappointment was difficult, but it wasn't wasted. It prepared you. You learned the lesson. This time, you're going to do it the right way. Because you inquired of the Lord, God is going to give you wisdom, insight, clear direction. He's lining up the right people right now. He's arranging things in your favor. When you see what God does and how He brings to pass what you thought was over, gives you another chance, when thought said you've made too many mistakes, you're going to dance like David danced. There will be great shouts of joy and victory in your house, in the house of the righteous. I met a woman after the service a while back, and she was 86 years old, and she opened up this folder and showed me a certificate. It was her college degree. She had just graduated that weekend. She told how she always promised her mother that she would get her degree. In her late teens, she was in college, but she got distracted. She didn't take it seriously. She's so busy hanging around friends, having fun. She ended up dropping out. Over the years, she kept making excuses. Mom, I can't do it now. I have children. I have to go to work. I have so much responsibility. She had accepted that she had missed her chance. But deep down, she never felt good about it. She was always bothered that she didn't keep her word to her mom. She didn't tap into that potential. One day she's flipping through the channels and she came across our services, and I was talking along these lines about how it's never too late to get started and we have to try again. Something came alive on the inside. See, that promise God put in you, that dream, it's like a seed. It never dies. It can lie there dormant for years, but it's still alive. At 82 years old, she went back to college and got her bachelor's degree, fulfilled that promise to her mother. I said, "Wow, man, your mom must be so proud of you. She must be smiling down from heaven right now." She said, "No, Joel, my mother's right over there. 104 years old, still healthy, smiling, waving." Are you going to miss something God put in your heart because you never tried again? I tried to write my book, but nobody helped me. Try again. I tried to get in management. They said I wasn't talented enough. Try again. I tried to break this addiction. It's been years. You are on the verge of God doing a new thing. He sees the disappointment. He knows what didn't work out. Lonely nights, those times you did your best, you gave it your all, but the ark didn't come back home. That's not the end of your story. God is the one that put the dream in you. He's the one that gave you the desire to be free, to be healthy, to get married. You have to stir up those gifts. God didn't bring you this far to leave you. And sure, you may have missed the opportunity in the past. You didn't take it seriously, but another chance is coming. You got turned down for that promotion. That's not the end. Another one is on the way. The relationship didn't work out. That person walked out of your life. Something better, someone better is already en route. My father was married at a young age, and he was excited about life, excited about his future. He never dreamed that marriage wouldn't make it. Sometimes life throws things at us that we didn't see coming. And my father was devastated. He was pastoring a church, and he not only lost his marriage, but he resigned from his church. And denominational leaders told him that he would never pastor again, that had tainted his future. He was no longer qualified. But people don't determine your destiny. God does. People may write you off and focus on your failures, how you don't measure up, you don't deserve it. But God is full of mercy. He knows how to take what was meant for harm and turn it to your advantage. My father left the ministry and started selling insurance. And thoughts told him that he had blown it, that he'd never have a family, never be in ministry again. The enemy is called the accuser. He'll remind you of every mistake you've made. He wants you to live down on yourself, reliving your mistakes, thinking that you're not worthy. You need to tune all that out. God's mercy is bigger than any mistake that you've made. Learn a lesson from it. Find anything that's helpful, what you could do better. Then leave all the guilt, the condemning voices behind. God doesn't remember your mistakes. Why are you remembering them? If anyone is bringing them up, you know it's not God. That's the accuser trying to keep you from trying again. It took a couple of months, but my father finally shook off that defeated mentality and tuned out all the condemning voices and started ministering again. A church hired him as their pastor. He was visiting his members in the hospital and saw this young nurse, a 22-year-old girl named Dodie. He liked her so much, he would go to that hospital any chance he could. If you told him one of your third cousins, best friends, next door neighbors was in there, he'd go in a minute. He was looking for reasons to show up, I think secretly praying that his members would get ill. Well, my mother had never met him, but she told her friends, "That pastor has the sickest congregation I have ever seen." She didn't know he wasn't after the patients, he was after the nurse. My parents got married and had four average children, one exceptional child, and they were married almost 50 years. Started Lakewood. Daddy pastored here nearly 40 years. This all happened after a disappointment, after a failure, when he was doing his best. He had good intentions, but it didn't work out. If my father had not tried again, I wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be a Lakewood. What will the world miss if you don't try again? That mistake didn't stop your purpose. God knows how to work all things for your good. The disappointment didn't cancel your destiny. The ark didn't come home the first time. Didn't turn out like you had hoped. There were some mistakes. Maybe things you could have done better. God's not holding that against you. Learn from it. Ask Him to show you how you can do better. Be open for change. Then this next part is so important. Try again. Joel, I tried to forgive, but they hurt me so badly. I know it's hard, but God is going to give you the grace to do it. If you'll make a move, you'll feel His power in a new way. I tried to meet someone new. I tried to get free from this addiction. Didn't happen, Joel. This is a new day. You're stepping into a new grace. The Spirit of God is coming on you in a greater way. This is a destiny moment. The Scripture says, today, when you hear His voice, do not turn away. Don't go another 5 years on hold, complacent, thinking you've seen your best days. Go back and get the ark. This time, it's coming home. This time, there will be great joy, great dancing, great celebration. You're going to look back and say like David, look what the Lord has done. He's going to exceed your expectations. There was a man in the Scripture named Zerubbabel. God gave him a dream to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. The king gave him permission to start the project. And he took 50,000 men and they laid the foundation. It took 2 years. They were so excited. The Scripture says the people let out a great shout, praising God because the foundation had been laid. They were about to start the next phase when opposition arose. The enemies of Judah heard about what was happening. They didn't like it. They started stirring up trouble and spreading rumors, trying to bring confusion. It's interesting how when you start doing great things and taking new ground, it stirs up the enemy. Jealousy, gossip, people trying to stop you. They were fine as long as you stayed in your box. Don't make any waves, be ordinary. That's not who you are. You're a history maker. God's called you to stand out, to set new standards. These people continued to cause trouble and lie about Zerubbabel. They sent a letter to the king saying that he was defiant and was going to lead a rebellion and not pay taxes. All lies, but the king believed them. They were ordered to stop the construction. No work could be done. Week went by, a month, a year. I can see Zerubbabel walking around the empty foundation thinking, God, what happened? I know you put this dream in my heart. Why did they lie about me? He couldn't understand it. But part of faith is trusting when it doesn't make sense. Believing that God is still in control when the promise seems like it's never going to happen. 16 years, the foundation sat there untouched. Zerubbabel had accepted that it wasn't meant to be. But what God starts, He's going to finish. God doesn't abort dreams. We may give up, but God doesn't give up. One day the prophet Zechariah showed up. He said, Zerubbabel, it's time to start rebuilding the temple again. He could have thought, what do you mean? It's been 16 years. Do you know what we've been through? All the disappointments, all the things people did to us. He had plenty of reasons to say, no thanks. It's too late. But like David, Zerubbabel said, God, if you say try again, then I'm going to try again. Zechariah went on to say, this time, Zerubbabel, it's not going to be by your might, by your power, but by the Spirit of the living God. He was saying what God is saying to us. You're coming into a window of grace where God is going to breathe on your life. Supernatural provision, uncommon favor, healing, freedom, things that you couldn't make happen, the hand of God is going to make happen. This time, there was a new king. He found in the official archives that there was a decree written years earlier that the temple was supposed to be rebuilt. The king told the critics not that he was going to stop Zerubbabel, but that they had to pay for the construction cost. He ordered the opposition to provide all the material, all the supplies, and to bring them food and water each day. The first time, it may not have worked out for you. It was unfair. You got passed over. You've had these seasons of silence where it seems like it could never happen. If you will try again, you're going to see the hand of God in ways you've never seen. It's not going to be just by your might, your intellect, your connections. The Most High God is going to open doors, turn your child around, heal your body, give you explosive blessings that catapult you ahead. Is there some area that you've given up in? You went through a disappointment, or you made a mistake. You could have done it better. Don't go through life down on yourself. Learn the lesson and move forward. You wouldn't be hearing this if you weren't entering a window of grace, the power to do what you couldn't do before. Try again to make the marriage work. Try again to start your business. Try again to have that baby. Try again to get close to God. Your act of faith is what causes the Creator of the universe to do what only He can do. If you'll do this, I believe and declare, like David, you're going to bring your ark home. God's going to restore, make ways, open doors. Like Zerubbabel, things that look like they were too late are about to come to pass. Dreams, businesses, healings, relationships, the fullness of your destiny in Jesus' name. And if you receive it, can you say amen? Let's pray together. If you can stick with me 5 minutes, we'll wrap it up in prayer. Lord, thank you for what we've heard. I know it falls on great ground, faithful people here at Lakewood and many watching and listening. Lord, we commit to you. What we've let go of, we're going to try again. Lord, those seeds that are still in us, those promises, Lord, bring them to light. Let us know what we've given up on. And Lord, we're going to do it your way this time. Lord, we're going to trust you. Lord, I just think it like I declared, you are breathing fresh vision and fresh ability into your people even today. Lord, I thank you for some supernatural turnarounds and supernatural dreams coming to pass. Lord, finishing what you started. We're going to do our part. And Lord, I thank you that you will do your part. We're trusting you today. Lord, protect your people, their children, the parents, as they go out this week at the schools. And thank you that your angels are watching over them. Give them a blessed week in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed in prayer, just one more question. If your heart stopped beating in the next few minutes, are you at peace with God? Do you know where you'd spend eternity if you died a little while from now? If not, I would love to pray with you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you find a new beginning. And I know this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in just a moment, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've grown cold toward God, you know you need to rededicate your life. You need a fresh new start. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. I can't think of a better time to get on the road to victory than right now. God is not mad at you. Your sins have already been forgiven. All you have to do is accept the free gift of Christ's salvation. Will you do it today? The enemy in your thoughts will whisper, do it next week. Do it another time. Listen, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. You're not hearing this by accident. Well, Joel, it's embarrassing to stand in front of everyone. I have people at the house. I can't lift my hand. Listen to what Jesus said. If you won't be ashamed of me before people, then I won't be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to give you a great opportunity to show God that you're not ashamed of Him. If you're not at peace with the Lord, or you just need to recommit your life, You need a fresh new start, a new beginning. If that's you, would you be bold, take that step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. Would you do that? Come on, Lakewood. Let's give them a hand as they stand all over the building. Come on, don't put it off. I feel like there ought to be others. Come on, Lakewood, let's cheer them in. Anybody else? Up top, watching, listening, still time for you. Well, God bless you. Please remain standing if you don't mind. Let me tell you how proud we are of you. I know that took courage to stand. And I know this, God is never going to be ashamed of you because you took this step of faith. The scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me help you to call. Do you mind all praying this after me, if you would, please? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. We'll remain standing one more moment. I want to tell you how much we love you. We're going to be praying for you. I also want to give you a personal invitation and a challenge to come back and be with us on a regular basis. We ask new believers to give us the next year of your life. Make a commitment for this next year, just like you go to work. It's going to be a priority that you're going to be here anytime you can. I'll make a promise. Before this year is over, your life will never be the same for the better. We're going to help you grow and become who God's created you to be. I know Sunday, sometimes it's your day off. You could be resting, running errands. But let me tell you, when you get into a community of faith and put God first place, there is a blessing on your life. Your new week will go better because you've taken time to honor God. And like I said earlier, you can get plugged in here. A lot of great people. After service, over here, New Beginnings. If you need anything, there's a room, prayer, information. I'm going to be back there by the bookstore lobby. If you got a moment today, if you can't do it today, I'm out there almost every time after I speak. I would love to meet you, but we're going to be looking for you. We're praying for you. Know this, the moment you stood up, God washed away all your sins, your mistakes, your failures. You are starting with a fresh, clean slate. Write it down in your Bible, March 23rd, 2025, a new day of victory in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand together, if you would, please. Thanks so much for coming out. How many of you are going home better off than you were before? Amen. Well, let me speak the blessing. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His favor and have mercy on you. And may the Lord watch over you and give you His peace. God bless you. Have an awesome week. We'll see you back real soon. We love you guys.